We're living in the dream. So if you would, you know, I've got a word from the Lord. Brian texted me last night. He was concerned it was a little bit late. But I've been studying all week to be here, actually the last couple weeks, on a message. And about 9 o'clock last night, Cher's like, "You're not at peace." I'm like, something's not right. So out of the 35 pages of notes that I had for today, I had to put those aside. 9 o'clock last night, the Lord gave me direction for this church today. How many know that when you hear from God, oh man, it gets you excited? But I know I heard from God, just like I did when I was talking to him about this place. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 28:18. So the Lord said, think bigger. Well, you guys thought bigger. You got bigger, correct? This is much, much bigger. Amen? Is it over? No, it's time to grow bigger now. To go bigger and to do bigger. Amen? Not just think bigger. Now it's time to go bigger. Amen? Touch this community. Amen? Matthew 28:18. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And he spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The authority given by Jesus was given to you and to me, not just the 12 disciples. You and I have been given the authority of the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. And we have been empowered by the Spirit. You have authority and empowerment. There is a difference, and we're going to go into that, amen? If you would stay hooked with me, we're going somewhere that I believe will affect everybody in their future in this church. Anybody here ever been attacked over the last few years during COVID, financially, physically? The enemy tried to come and take you out? Well, Psalms 91, at the end of it, it says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. With long life, how did you get there? Pestilence didn't get you. Disease didn't get you. The arrow by night did not get you. A car accident did not get you. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. It actually says he comes to steal first. He comes to steal the word. Well, he lost, didn't he? That's why you're still here. That's why this church is here. During COVID, there were a lot of churches that went out of business that are not here. You guys are still here. Amen? We can build upon it. Amen? The King James Version of that says, all power. It doesn't use the word authority. It says all power. The Greek word here is actually authority. And we'll see that throughout the scriptures in these verses where power and authority are not used properly. So if I say the word ship, just ship, that's all I say, ship, what went in your mind? Was it a cruise boat or was it FedEx? It has to do with the English language. Some words can be used with different connotations. The Greek word here is actually the word authority. I have given you authority. Well, there's a lady here at the church that I met earlier today. She's a police officer. You guys know her. She has been given power and authority. You could be a gangster and have some power. You could have some big guns. You know, you may be a thug on a school playground, and you may have some power. But the person who comes up with power and authority that's been authorized by the governing parties around them, they've got both. They're the people who can actually do something. Amen. You have been given power and authority. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. In this verse that we just talked about, Matthew 28:18, the word authority is actually used in the Amplified. The ESV, Young's Literal. You think Mr. Young knew anything about the proper Greek? The NLT, the NASU, the NIV. If you go back and search it and look it up, it actually is the wrong word in the King James. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. He gave them both. You have been given power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. You have, not just your pastor, the child of God has. Amen? Let's look down to verse 9. And the apostles, wait a second. In verse 1, Luke 9, verse 1, he says, then he called his 12 disciples. What happened here? So he calls his 12 disciples and tells them to go out. They come back as apostles. That's a higher level. What happened? They obeyed God. They went out and they were promoted. They went out in one thing and came back as apostles. If you want promotion in the things of God, you have to do what he says to do. Go and do. Amen? Faith without action is dead. Does that make sense? Then look at Luke 9, verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? So they went from being disciples to being apostles to walking and doing miracles, the miracles of God through them. And then they come back, do you want us to command this down? Then they got into pride. Look at who we are. Not in love, not in mercy. They missed it. And Jesus basically corrected them. Amen? Is that true? Whenever the Lord sends you out, he always gives you the power and the authority. That power, you can think of it as ability. That word grace, you hear a lot of messages today about grace, the grace of God. Think of ability of God. Grace is another word for ability. Amen? It's his ability. So many people focus on the grace of God, and we need to know the grace of God. But that means that you're just knowing about his ability. I don't want to just know his ability. I want to experience his ability. I want to walk in the power, in the authority, setting people free, getting people healed. Amen? Seeing the miracle manifestation of God. Do you guys want that for this area? Yes. Well, the vision of this church, according to your website, it says you do. Is that just a religious thing on your website, some religious terminology? Or do you really believe it, that you're going to affect this community? Then you better be doing what the Word says and going forth with power and authority. Amen? Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say that healing is a dinner bell. Somebody gets a miracle healing, all of a sudden the whole family shows up. Amen? It's a dinner bell. The authority. When you've been authorized, who's backing you? When God authorizes you, you've got him backing you up. Not some city government that gives you a badge. Not the state. Not the U.S. government. You've got the creator of heaven and earth. Imagine that. You've got God's ability working in you, and you've been authorized or backed up by him. By his word. That's power, people. Hallelujah. In Luke 10, verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy. Why did they return with joy? Because they were doers of the word, and they came back and said, even demons are subject to us in your name. First it was Jesus. Then it was the 12. That's 13, right? Then it was 70. That was 83. And then it was you, and then it was me. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Believers should not be afraid of the devil at all. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That requires two things. Submitting to God. Most people won't submit to him. They will open up a little door. They'll come to church on Sunday and be fed. That's not a servant of the God. Whenever you go to a restaurant, you get up and go in the back and cook yourself. No, they serve you. When you come here and your pastor is giving you a message, he's serving you. You're not serving God by coming to church. You may be an obedient saint because you came. Don't forsake the gathering, but you're not serving him. My question to you is, how are you serving him? I encourage you to answer that question to yourself. What are you doing to serve in his kingdom? Amen? not just show up. Amen? We are supposed to fight the good fight of faith and resist the devil. The Bible never told us to beg God to make Satan quit. Never told us to beg him. He told us to resist the devil and to actually command authority over him. We're going to get into that in just a minute as our example from the master. You know, a friend of mine has a little yapper dog. Anyone know what that is? Little wannabe. My wife wants one of those, but anyway. And that little yapper dog, it come over, bark, growl. But if I went and jumped at it, it would take off running with his tail between his legs. That's the way Satan is. Actually, that little yapper dog will take a leak on their floor. I kind of chuckle because it's not my floor. I didn't have to clean it. But that's the way Satan should be with you. And the only way he will be that way is if you know the power and the authority that you have working in you by the name of Jesus. Amen? Do you truly know it? Or is it just a religious statement for you? Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. What does authority mean? He's actually authorized you or given you the right to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or the might of the enemy. Satan does have some power, but he's been brought to naught when you're a child of God. If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, in other words, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're getting whooped. Actually, at the end of this life, you're going to end up in eternity in hell. But if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've received Jesus as Lord, you have that authority and power to destroy the acts of the enemy. Amen? Amen. That's right. To wipe them out. Whenever it said, behold, I give you the authority, that means pay attention. Look at this. I give you authority is what God is saying. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. The word power is used twice in Luke 10:19 in the King James. It says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That word power that's used in that verse twice is two different words in the Greek. It's two different words that's in that. Check it out if you don't believe me. Jesus actually said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He gave that to you and me, amen? The Amplified says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Satan may have got in a sucker punch, right? Anybody ever had that happen? They come up and all of a sudden somebody taps you on the shoulder and bam, that's like a sucker punch. Satan may have got in a sucker punch, but if you don't quit, you win. Amen? You have the victory if you do not quit, but that's up to you whether or not you're going to quit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Authority is delegated power. Jesus set the example for us. You know, the devil and his forces are obliged to recognize your authority in Jesus if you know it. If you know and believe the authority that Jesus gave you, Satan must submit to it. If he doesn't, then that means that he has authority and power over the Word of God, and he is defeated. The question is are you going to stand and fight? I'm here to tell you today, you can win every battle, every attack of the enemy. I'm not saying I have done it. I've lost a lot of them. Amen? Whenever I used to be drag racing, I was on the national circuit, drag racing Harley-Davidson dragsters. And the enemy tried to take me out because I wasn't led. I wasn't supposed to race that day. I ignored it. And if you want to know more about it, my testimony is on my website of that. I missed it. The enemy tried to take me out. I'm in a hospital, coma condition. They said I had mental, physical damage in my neck, my spinal column, brain damage. 24 hours later, I was having normal conversations. 48 hours later, I was doing over 100 on a motorcycle. We won't talk whether or not that was on the interstate. Okay? Cowboy up. I wasn't going to live in fear. I had things to do. But I was not going to live in fear. Amen? Don't live in fear, but you have to know that the enemy is defeated. When attack comes, you have to know that the authority and the power that has been vested in you by the name of Jesus. Amen? Anybody get to Luke chapter 4, verse 1? Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Anybody here ever been tempted for day after day after day? He doesn't change. He did it to the master. He does it to everybody here. Everybody here. See, temptation is not sin. Acting on it is when you fall into sin. Tempted 40 days and 40 nights. But he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you think you'd be weak after that period? That's when Satan comes to attack. He'll give you what I call polyp technique. At that point in time, he'll attack you here, then this area. Then he'll get your wife. Then he'll get your kids. Then he'll something happen at work. And he does this polyp technique. He's very strategic. He's shrewd because he wants to take you out. That's what he was trying to do with Jesus here. Tempted 40 days and nights. You must fight daily. Take captive of those thoughts daily. Verse 3. Now let's continue with verse 2. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Well, yeah. In verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be bread. Satan immediately came and tempted Jesus in all three areas that sin falls under. There's three areas that every sin falls under. If you go back and read Genesis, it talks about the three of them that Adam fell into. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every sin falls underneath those three categories. That's where Satan came and attacked. Amen? Jesus would not command the Father to do this. What do you mean, turned it into bread? Do you think Jesus could have turned those stones into bread? Wrong. Hold me too accountable on it. Let's go back to the Word. Amen? John 5:9. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Had he seen the Father do this? Had he heard from the Father? Can he do it? Can you perform a miracle or set somebody free or get somebody healed by yourself? No. Only what you see and hear of the Father. Amen? Now, after the Father tells us, yes, we have a lot of scripture to stand on. Which one are you going to stand on? Whenever I was in that accident, Sarah stood on a verse that I'm like, you stood on what? God's not through with you yet. He's going to complete the work. It had nothing to do with a healing scripture. But I'm in the hospital. The Baylor Medical Center is telling her that I'll be paralyzed and mentally retarded the rest of my life if I lived. No, don't speak that over my husband. God is not through with him yet. You need a scripture, not 100 scriptures, not 1,000 scriptures. You need a scripture that ministers and quickens your spirit in that situation. And only you know that scripture. You know what builds you up. You know what the Lord is telling you. Amen? Does that make sense why Jesus couldn't do that? Because he hadn't heard from the Father. He can only do what the Father says. So, you know, a little bit of a, I won't say a trick there, but I pulled you in a little bit. When he heard from the Father, that authority and power would have been working through him. And John 5, chapter 30 says, in verse 30 says, I can of myself do nothing of myself. So no, he couldn't do it of himself. But when he saw the Father do it, what if he tried? What if you said, oh, well, it's 40 days without eating. He's already fasted. What would be wrong with him having something to eat? Come on. He's entitled to that now. He's already done all this work. He deserves it. That would have been sin. Anything out of faith that's not of faith is sin. Anything that he was not told by the Father to do and he did himself, that's rebellion. And Jesus would not have been King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan was trying to trick him up right then and there. Do you guys agree? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, It is written. We're going to talk about a three-round fight. When I was younger, I was a boxer. May not look like it today, but I did quite well when I was younger in boxing until I got to East St. Louis, an inner city boy that was doing it because that was his way out of being in a gang and living on the streets. It was real to him. It was life or death. For me, I thought it was cool because chicks thought it was cool. Truth. So, but Jesus answered him saying, it is written. How did he fight? It is written. You want to win every attack of the enemy? It is written. Not by what you feel. Round one. This is Satan coming after him. He's in the ring. Round one. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There's a written answer from God, from his word, to help you resist every attack of the enemy, to help you come against and overthrow every scheme of the enemy. Everyone. No matter what he brings at you, you need to get in the word and find out where to stand. Amen. Verse 5. Then the devil, taking him. Where is Satan trying to take you? If Satan has taken Jesus somewhere, where is he trying to take you? Down a deep, dark hole that spins down, where you get out of faith, where he can attack you? He's trying to get you out of faith, because if you're not in faith, he can whoop you every time. If you stay in faith, if you stay on God's side, on his word, you can whoop him in every situation. Amen? Then the devil, taking him, I'm sorry, I don't know what's causing that, up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This was his destiny. This is where he is right now. He is King of kings and Lord of lords over all worlds. Yeah, he's still a god of this earth, is Satan. But there's a time coming when he's coming back. He's already been stripped and brought to naught, where he's going to be wrapped up in chains in hell. Then in Luke 4:6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give to you whatever I wish. Satan had become the god of this world because of Adam's sin. But Jesus defeated him. Amen? Jesus took, you know, the things of that Adam did when he fell, the creeping things of this earth was given to Adam to control over, and it was given to Satan. You know, there's some women that are doing some things because they're around some creepy men. You should not let them creepy men rule over you. Submit to your husband as unto God. Verse 7, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Satan brings thoughts. He brings pressure. This was what Jesus knew he would come and was his destiny if he came and fulfilled what God had sent him here for. And Satan was trying to say, I'll give you a shortcut. I'll give you the easy way to get there. The way to get there. Feelings. We must fight resisting these thoughts. I'm not moved by what I feel. What about you guys? Jesus actually said, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's what he had said. He was walking in it at this time. No, I'm not going to fall to what you're trying to convince me to do, Satan. I'm not going to fall into this trick, into this manipulation. I'm a child of God. I'm going to do only what he says. Verse 8. Well, before we go to verse 8, how do you fight these thoughts? And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Sarah and I have been seeking the Lord on the next steps of our ministry. How to fulfill the call of God on our lives. To run our race. To hear, well done, good and faithful servants, when we depart this earth. I encourage you to do the same. Ask the Lord your part. You do have a call of God on your life. You do have a place. You do have something you are supposed to do for the kingdom of God. This life is so short, it's like a vapor and it's gone. Well, as we were seeking the Lord revealed to me that from the day we got married, we started ministering to people who did not know Jesus. We started going into prisons, telling people about the goodness of God. While we were in prison, I met outlaw bikers. And the Lord put it on my heart, why not minister to them before they get to prison? That's a key part of our ministry today, is ministering to outlaw bikers. We've been doing it for 27 years now. Amen. Glory. I'm going to read Luke chapter 15, verses 7 and 10 to you. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, how are they going to repent if they've never heard the truth? They've never heard the gospel. So the Lord showed us our part in the next part of our ministry. There's an estimated 7.8 billion people on earth today. 3.37 billion are considered unreached people groups. Over the last few years, we've looked into radio in the U.S., different TV channels and what we're on, and I never had peace. Well, now I know why. And so it's on our heart to minister in this part of the world. You know, you've probably heard of the 1040 window, which is based on latitude and longitudes over people groups who don't know Jesus. We looked into that. I didn't have a witness there, but where I do have a witness is throughout part of the world where I've done business. So we're kicking off Project John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Graciousness and the goodness of God, we're happy to inform you that you can download all of our messages and our mini books free of charge from our website. Also, if you'd like to become a partner or receive our newsletter, feel free to contact our offices.
We're living in victory.